Okay, today's daf Shabbat daf Kuf Yud Zayin. We're at the bottom of Kuf Tet Zayin Amud Bet at the Mishnah. Matzilin Tika Sefer Ima Sefer V'Tika Tzvilin Ima Tzvilin Rav Pishyesh Ba'otachon Ma'ot. So not only do you take out the Sefer Torah, but the case that the Sefer Torah may be inside, you're allowed to take it out. Similar by Tzvilin, you save Tzvilin, or the case that the Tzvilin is inside, you're also allowed to take out. And even if there's also money in that case, it's fine because you're carrying it out for the Tzvilin or for the Sefer Torah. Right. So where exactly do you save these two? Meaning, where are you allowed to transport them into? So ben b'teira, the first answer is to in a closed off alleyway, an alleyway that is not open. Ben b'teira says even an open alleyway you're allowed to carry it out into. Okay, Gemara, Tan Rabbanan, arba'asar shechalat liot b'shabat mafshidim tepetach ad hachazeh. Right, so we're going to discuss the relevance in a second, but first of all, we taught that if the 14th of Nisan falls out on Shabbat, right, with regard to the Korban Pesach, you're allowed to remove its skin up until the chest, just up from the back legs up until the chest, because then you cover everything that you really need to remove and burn from the rest. The rest of the removal of the skin is really just done to facilitate the eating of it. But as far as the doing the korban properly, you only need to remove it up to the chest. So that's if it's on Shabbat, that's as much as you're allowed to do. Div Rabbi Shmuel, it's Shita Rabbi Shmuel, Beno Shel Rabbi Yochanan Ben Broka. Chachamim Omrim, Chachamim say, Mafshidin et kulo, right? You can remove the entire thing. Bishlam al Rabbi Yishmael ben Oshel Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka to ha'it avid leit tzorach gavoa. Right? So I understand that for a shita that you did everything needed for the korban. So you did everything needed for a Kadosh Baruch Hu. El Rabbanan my taima. Right? So why did the Rabbanan allow you to remove all the skin? That's not done for Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's done so people can eat it more easily. Amar Rabba Barachana, Amar Biyochanan de Amar Kara, Kol Pal Hashem l'ma'anehu. Right? Because, as the Pasuk says, everything that, that Kadosh Baruch Hu did, facilitates, his honor. V'hacha ma'ileba anehu. Right now, what is the honor of a Kadosh Baruch Hu that you're facilitating here by removing all of the skin? Ika my my lemaneu ika. Rav Yosef Amar Shalu Yasriach. So Rav Yosef says, well, you take off all the skin, so it doesn't come to smell bad, and that would be disgusting. You want to bring it as a korban. Rava Amar Shalu Yu Kodesh Shemaim Mutalani Kinevela. Right, so you don't have a korban, which is a kodesh thing, just kind of hanging there, half peeled off, like a nevela. My benayhu. What's the nafkamina of whether you hold that you're removing all the skin just so it doesn't become disgusting, or you're removing all the skin so it doesn't look like a nevela. Iki benayu demanach aputra de dahava. Right, if you put it on a golden table, then it's not a disgrace. You're not leaving it in disgrace, even though you only peeled off half the skin. Inami yoma de istana. Right, alternatively, a cold day, a day where there's a cold wind coming in, because then it's not gonna come to rot by not removing all the skin. It's not gonna come disgusting. Rabbi Shmuel ben Oshel Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. Hi paal Hashem l'maneh umay avid. So this paal Hashem Ma'anehu, we used to understand that you're allowed to remove all the skin for a positive purpose, for to spare disgrace of the korban, right? But what Rabbi Shmuel ben Oshel Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, who doesn't believe that you're allowed to, what does he do with that pasuk? Shelo yotzi et ha'imurin kodem hafshatat ha'or, right? So that you don't take out, meaning you may have thought that basically what this pasuk allows you to do is that if you're already involved in the malacha, you're allowed to continue the action in order to better perform something for a Kadosh Baruch Hu, like not have disgrace for the korban, right? So what Rabbi Shmuel ben Oshel Yochanan Broka says is that pasuk is just telling you not to, let's say, cut the korban open from behind and remove all the limbs or anything that you need to remove. Rather, you peel it off like normal and then take all the limbs out. You don't need to cut it open from behind and remove the limbs without having taken off the skin. That's what the pasuk tells you. My time, Amaravuna bereid rav not. Right. Well, why don't you actually do that? Right. Seemingly, you can spare the cutting off, the peeling off of the skin entirely if you just cut it open from behind and remove what you need to remove. So it's because we don't want the hairs from the behind, from the backside of the animal, getting mixed up with the meat and it making the korban that we're offering disgusting. Want to have it clean. Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Mar Ukva, my ahadrule chavrei lo Rabbi Shmuel ben Oshel Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. Right, hachikamar. Right. So, what exactly did what did the Chachamim respond to Rabbi Shmuel ben Ashi Yochanan Broka, right, to his shita? What do they say? Hachikamarle, this is what he said. Im atzilin tik hasefer, im hasefer lo nashit da pesach me'oro. Right. So if you're allowed to save the case of the Sefer Torah together with the Sefer Torah, can you not just remove all of the skin together with the skin that you're removing? So they're comparing, if you're already removing part of the skin, just continuing to remove the entire skin, to if you're already taking out the Sefer Torah, you get to take out the case as well. Midami, was that really a similar case? Hatam tiltul hachamalacha. There you're talking about carrying two things. It's tiltul, right? We're talking about carrying something, whether it's muksa, whether you're allowed to carry it out. Here we're talking about a full-blown malacha of skinning an animal, right? So it's not going to, just because you can carry one, therefore you can carry the other, doesn't mean that you can do this malacha and therefore you can do it in a place that's not necessary. Amar of Ashi, betarti pligi. Really, they're having two machlokets, right? And so they're not talking about the malacha here. Pligi betiltul, pligi, upligi b'malacha, right? So they're having a machloket about tiltul, and they're also having a machloket about the malacha. Right now, they're only addressing the tiltul part, right? They're only addressing about carrying, right? So they say, just like you can carry the skin of the animal together, or sorry, just like you can carry the case of the Sefer Torah with the Sefer Torah, so too you should be able to carry the skin of the animal together with the animal. That's the point they're making. They're not talking about the malacha right now. They're just talking about carrying it, why it shouldn't be mukta. And this is what they said. If you're allowed to carry out the case with the Sefer Torah, then are you not allowed to carry out? Why wouldn't you allowed to carry out the skin together with the flesh? Was that similar at all? There, by the Sefer Torah, the case is a basis ladavar hamuter, right? Meaning, a basis is basically the thing that the usur thing lays on top of. It's called a basis ladavar haasur, and that is also mukta in many cases, right? So if you have a tray and you put a mukta thing intentionally down on that tray, you want it to stay there, and then the mukta thing falls off, that tray is still considered mukta, because it's a basis ladavar haasur, right? So there, the case is a basis ladavar hamutar, right? So the case is supporting a Sefer Torah. It's a mutar thing. Of course you're allowed to carry it, but here, the flesh itself is mukta until you're allowed to, it's raw flesh, you can't do anything with it until after Shabbat. So here, the skin is not going to become mutter together with the flesh. The flesh itself is aser. The skin is a basis to the varha aser. Ela hachikamar lai. Rather, this is how the argument went. Im atzilin tika sefer, im hasefer. If you're allowed to take out the case of the Sefer Torah together with the Sefer Torah, the af al pi sheyesh betocho me'ot, even though there's money in that case, lo nitaltel oragav basar, right? Would I not carry the skin together with the flesh? That's comparable, because there's money in the case, and money is aser, so maybe it's a basis ledavar haaser. Midami, is that really a similar case? Hatam nase basis ledavar haasur, ule davar hamutar, haha kulo nase basis ledavar haasur. There, you have Sefer Torah and money, so the case is a basis ledavar haasur and a mutar, right? It's carrying a mutar thing and an aser thing, but here, you're just carrying an aser thing. Ela hachi kamari. Rather, this is how the machloket went. Achikam relay, im mevi'in tik sheyesh betocho me'ot me'alma lahatzil bo sefer Torah lo nitaltel or agav basar. Right. So this is how the machloket went. If I'm allowed to bring in a case from outside into my home in order to save a Sefer Torah from burning, even if that case that I'm bringing in from outside has money in it while I'm bringing it in, right? So at the time that I'm bringing it in, it only has something usher in it, then shouldn't I be able to carry the meat together with the skin? V'hi gufa minalan, right? How do you know that you're allowed to do that? Are you allowed to bring in a case to save the Sefer Torah while the case has money in it? We didn't teach that anywhere. Ilema Midehecha de itbe lo shadi lehu ituye nami matnitin. So if you want to learn it out from the fact that, well, I can carry the case out with the Sefer Torah, even has money in, so why couldn't I carry the case in to save the Sefer Torah even when it has money in it? Midami, that wouldn't be a similar case that you can say just because I can carry it out with money, it means I can carry it in with money. Right? Hatam adahachi v'achi nafla deleika. Right? Because there, the reason that you don't have to take the money out before you save the Sefer Torah is because you're pressed for time. Right? So you have to get the Sefer Torah in there as soon as possible. Hacha adahachi v'achi l'shadinan. Right? But here, if you're bringing it in from outside anyway, you should just remove the money while you're walking. Right? So, if you're already in the house, you want to put the Sefer Torah in the case as quickly as possible. But here, you already have the time it takes to walk into the house, right? So while you're doing that, take the money out, right? So it's not a good comparison. You can't learn that from our Mishnah. Ela amamar barav ashi lolam kedamrin meikara. So really, let's go back to the first argument that we made, right? And the question you asked, well, how do you compare the two? How do you compare the fact that if you're allowed to carry one thing, then you're allowed to carry the thing with it, to a case of a full-blown malacha, of if you're allowed to start skinning the animal, then you can continue skinning the animal? That's the question you asked. We didn't have an answer, so we tried to, you know, change the machloket. Let's go back to that, and I'm going to address that point. You go into lo kabay le'or, right? So if you don't want the skin at all, then it's malacha shenet shrich legufa, right? You don't want the skin, so you don't need the skin, and it's malacha shenet shrich legufa because you generally skin an animal for the skin, in which case you're going to be exempt here. And that's why, we're not concerned about the malacha aspect, because you're going to be exempt. It's malacha shenet shrich legufa, you don't need the skin. But don't Rava and Abaye both agree that Rabbi Shimon, who says that you're exempt by a malacha shenet shrich legufa, that you do a malacha for not its intended purpose, that if it's definitely going to happen, meaning if the result is definite, then you're not allowed to do it, right? In which case, it's definite that if you peel the skin off the animal, that the skin is going to be peeled. So you can't say it's a malacha shenet shrich legufa, the shakile bebarze. No, we're talking about if you did it strip by strip, where you get no benefit from it, no pleasure from it, and then it's a malacha shenet, it's going to be, if you get no benefit from it whatsoever, because you take it off strip by strip, so it can't even be used for anything, that in that case, you're going to be exempt. It's only when you get benefit from it, and it's vaday going to happen, that Rabbi Shimon says you're chayev. Lehechan matzilin utan. Okay, so where are you allowed to take it out to? Hechidami mefulash. Okay, so the Mishnah said that there's machloket, whether it's only in a closed alleyway or an unclosed alleyway. So now we're asking the question. Right. What is mefulash? Behechidami she'ena mefulash. And what is the case of not mefulash? So basically, what's the open mavoi? What's the case of a closed off alleyway? And what's the case of an open alleyway? Amar Rav Chisda, shalosh mechitzot v'shnei lechein, zeu mavoi she'ena mefulash. Right? So, if it has three walls and then two, posts, at the entrance, that is considered a closed off alleyway. Shalosh mechitzot v'lechi echad, zeu mavoi mefulash. But if it has three walls and one post, at the entranceway, that is an open mavoi. Rabbi Eliezer, right? And they both seem to be arguing within the shita of Rabbi Eliezer, right? The Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, Hechsher Mavoi. So how exactly do you create a Mavoi? In an alleyway that can be carried in. Beishamay Omrim Lechi Vekura, right? You have to put a post and a beam on top of it, or between the entranceway. Behil Omrim O Lechi Okura, right? So Behil says, no, you either need a post or a beam. Rabbi Lezer Omer Shnei Lechaim, right? And according to Rabbi Lezer, in order to facilitate movement in that alleyway, you actually have to put two, posts in there. So clearly, if we're talking about an alleyway, and we're saying whether it constitutes an open and closed alleyway is dependent on how many posts you have in there. Clearly, arguing in Rabbi Eliezer's Shita, who talks about the how many lechim being the difference, how many posts being the difference. Amar le Rabba, shlosh mechitzot v'lechi echad mefulash karit alei. So Rabba says, did you really call something with three walls and one lechi and one post an open alleyway? Right. The od l'rabbanan natzil tochan ochlin umashkin. And furthermore, if you're totally allowed to move within this closed alleyway, then why don't the rabbanan allow you to save even more food? Meaning, we have basically two problems that he's raising here, right? So the first is to say, just because Rabbi Lezer says that that's what's considered a closed-off alleyway does not mean he believes that you're allowed to carry in it. That's an assumption, right? Doesn't mean he says that you're allowed to carry in it just because it's considered a closed-off alleyway. And the second is, if you are allowed to carry in it, then why don't the Rabbanan allow you to bring in more things? What's the limit, right? Like, you should bring out as much as you want to. You're allowed to carry in this area. Ela amar Rabba, rather, Rabba answers as follows. Shtei mechitzot v'shnei l'chayin zeu mavoi she'enu mefulash. Right? So if you have two walls and two posts, that is a closed off alleyway. Shtei mechitzot v'lechi echad zeu mavoi mefulash. If you have two walls and one post, that is a mavoi hamefulash. That is an open alleyway. V'tavai oli with Rabbi Yehuda, right? And they both follow Rabbi Yehuda's shita. The Tanya yeter alken, because in the Braita we taught that in addition, Rabbi Yehuda says as follows: Am Rabbi Yehuda, mishi yeshlo shnei batim b'shnei tzidei rishut harabim. Someone has two houses on two sides, the Shudrabim, Ose Lechem Mikan Velechem Mikan, right? You make a post on either side, Okor Mikan Vekor Mikan, or a beam on either side. Venose Venoten Be'emta, and you're allowed to carry things back and forth as if you closed off the area between the two houses. So that is the that's Rabbi Yehuda Shita, and so Rabba believes that we're really arguing within Rabbi Yehuda Shita at what constitutes an open or closed alleyway. Amrulo in Ma'arvin Rishut Rabim Kach, right? And they said to Rabbi Yehuda, you can't turn Rishut Rabim into an encompassed off area like that. Amrulay Abaye Levidcha Nami Lerabana Natsil Tochan Ochlin Mashkin. And then Abaye points out, you know, Rabba, you haven't really fixed the problem, right? Because you asked the question. I mean, first of all, you raised the point that Rabbi Eliezer doesn't say that you're allowed to carry in that area. He just calls that just because he calls that a closed off alleyway does not mean that he allows you to carry in it. That's first of all. You address that by saying we're not arguing in Rabbi Eliezer, we're arguing in Rabbi Yehuda, who does allow you to carry lechachila in those ways. But you did not answer the question of, if you're allowed to carry in those ways, then why don't we allow you to take out more food and drink? Why are we so limiting with how you're allowed to take it out? Ela amar Rav Ashi, shlosh mechitzot velechi echad zema voy she'enem fulash. Rather, Rav Ashi says like this. If you have three walls and one post, that is a closed off alleyway. Shalosh mechitzot below lechi. However, if you have three mechitzot and no posts whatsoever, zeu mavoy mafulash. Right, that is an open alleyway. Va'afilu l'Rabbi Eliezer d'amar ba'inon lechayim. Right, and even according to Rabbi Eliezer, who says you need two posts, hani mili le'ochli no mashkin. You only need two posts for food and drink if you want to take it out. Aval sefer Torah bechad lechi sagi. However, when it comes to taking out a sefer Torah, it's allowed in one post. Right, it's allowed with one post, and that's why the Chachamim did not allow you to take out any more, because we're talking about a case that has one post, and in which case you wouldn't be allowed to take out food and drink. However, you'd be allowed to take out a Sefer Torah, and that's why we're not matir taking out food and drink, only a Sefer Torah. Okay, new Mishnah: Matzilin Mazon Shalosh Sudot Harotwi LaAdam LaAdam Haroi LaBehema LaBehema. Right, so what are you allowed to save? What are you allowed to take out of the house? Well, you can take out food from the house, enough for three meals. If it's for a person, then three meals fit for a person. If it's for an animal, three meals fit for an animal. Right, we're talking about Shabbat. There are three meals on Shabbat, so it makes sense. Ketzad, right? So what's the case we're talking about? How exactly does this play out? Nafla deleika b'leila Shabbat, matzilin mazon shalosh sudot. If the fire comes upon the house the night of Shabbat, that's when you're allowed to take out three meals. Peshacharit matzilin mazon shtei sudot. However, if it's in the morning, two meals. B'mincha mazon suda achat. And if it's b'mincha, then you could save one meal. Rabbi Yossi Omer Leolam Matzilin Mazon Shalosh Sudot. Rabbi Yossi says you can always take out three meals, right? So basically, what they're arguing over is why did we say you're allowed to save three meals, right? Is it because Shabbat has three meals, and therefore practically you're going to use them on Shabbat? So if you've already eaten one of the meals, then you can only save two meals, or is it just a gzera that three meals are allowed to be saved on Shabbat? Michdi beheter katarich natzil tvei. But let's analyze this for a second, because if you're going out, meaning if you're taking the food out in a permissible fashion, then save as much as you want. Why only three meals? No, so it's actually a gzera. This is you're not allowed to take out more, because a person is so preoccupied with saving his money, then he may come to put out the fire. But if he has to accept the fact that most of his stuff is going to be burnt, right, and he's only allowed to save a couple things, then we're not going to be concerned that he's going to put out the fire. But if he's allowed to save as much as he wants, then he's not really going to accept the fact that his stuff is going to be burnt, and he may come to put it out himself. Amar Leibaye Ela Hadatanya Nishbra Lo Chavit Barosh Gago Mevi Kli Umaniach Tachte Vajlo Yavi Kli Acher VeYiklot Kli Acher VeYitzrof. Right, so that it's similar to that which we taught in a Braita, that if he has a barrel that breaks at the top of his roof, he can come put a vessel underneath it that kind of catch some of what's spilling out. As long as he does not bring a vessel and catch it, you know, on the ground from the flow from the roof to the ground, or hold it in place next to the roof to kind of catch the flow that's flowing down the roof. Hatam my gzera ika, right? So so in that case, what's the gzera that we're concerned for? Meaning, what's like why can you not go and save more, right? Why can't you save as much as much wine as you want to save if you're doing it in a mutter fashion, right? Achanami gzera shemi yavo lide yavi kli derech shetarabim. No, so here too, similar case as to why we don't allow him to save more wine, because we're concerned that he's going to bring a kli from the shetarabim, right? So we mentioned that, like, it's interesting that we seem to assume that the reason you're allowed to save as much food as possible is because of this gzera, we're afraid that you're going to put out, extinguish the flame, right? But then we have a similar gzera, or a similar case where you're not allowed to bring more kalim to catch as much wine as you can, and we ask, well, what's the gzera there that makes you not bring so many kalim? And we answered, we're concerned that if you're allowed to save too much, then you're allowed to, then you might bring a kli from Rishut HaRabim. But if you're only allowed to save a minimum amount, then whatever, you know, then you're just going to bring a kli from your house. Gufa nishbar lo chavid berosh gago maybe kli umaniach tachte vachloyavi kli acher riklod kli acher vito. Okay, so we said, let's examine what we already said, that if a barrel breaks on your roof, you're allowed to bring a kli and put it underneath it, but not to catch it at the bottom and not to hold it up to the roof and catch it. Nizdamin lo orchin, maybe kli acher vikolet, kli acher mitzaref. However, if he has guests, he's going to want to give them wine, then he's allowed to bring other kalim, right? He's only allowed to save enough for himself. That's the gzera. However, if he has guests, then he can bring more. However, he shouldn't go put a kli there to catch more wine and then invite guests quickly so that what he did was legitimate. Rather, first he has to invite guests, and then once he has the guests, then he's allowed to go catch the wine. And you can't use ha'arama. Ha'arama is like, if something isn't intrinsically usser necessarily, it's kind of like a loophole, but it's like where if something is usser for a specific reason, then you say you're doing it for a different reason, even if you kind of change your mind later. It's just kind of a way to, when the Chachamim had a certain concern, by doing it in a ha'arama fashion, you're both kind of saying that you're not doing it for the usur reason, but also by saying that you're not doing it for the usur reason, you also avoid some of the concerns that the Rabbanan were talking about in the first place. It's not the best explanation of ha'arama. We don't have so much time right now. Maybe we'll try to get into it in a different time. But it's basically saying you're doing something for one reason when you're really doing it for another reason, because the reason you're actually doing it for is not... because it would be usser to do if you were doing it for the exact reason that you said you did it for. So what we said here is you're not allowed to use ha'arama. You're not allowed to say... you're not allowed to bring guests who don't want wine and say, oh, I'm saving the wine for all these guests when they don't actually want the wine. Mishum Rabbi Yosef bar Yehuda amru ma'arimin. And according to Rabbi Yosef bar Yehuda, you are allowed to do that, right? As long as it looks like you have the right amount of guests, right, then it's clear to you that you're only doing it to save the wine for the guests, even if they're not actually drinking it, and by that you're not going to come to actually violate the issur of bringing a kli from Rishut HaRabim. Leman plukta the Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shua kamiflagi. Maybe this machloket of whether you're allowed to use harama follows is in accordance with the machloket of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua. The Tanya, we learned in a Braita, Oto ve'ed beno, shenaflu labor. If you have two animals, one animal and its child that fell into a pit, you're not allowed to slaughter an animal and its child on the same day, by the way. So it fell into a pit on Shabbat, Rabbi Eliezer, or on Yom Tov, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, ma'ale atarishon al menat l'shochto, v'asheni, oselo panasavim komo, bishvil shelo yamut. Right, so the first one you can pull out in order to slaughter it, so that's why you have a heter to pull it out, because you need it in order to slaughter it. And the second one, just do whatever it takes to not let it die there. Rabbi Shua Omer Ma'alin et Arishon Omer Ma'al Shochto Ve'enu Shochto Ma'arim Ma'al et Hasheni Ratzazeh Shochet Ratzazeh Shochet. What you can do is you pull out the first one to shecht it, right? Say, I'm shechting this animal, that's why I'm pulling it, that's why I'm getting it out of the pit, right? And then you get it out, and then you decide, you know, I really don't want to shecht this one, I'd rather shecht the other one. So then you pull the other one out of the pit and say, I'm pulling this out in order to shecht it, right? And then once you have both of them out, you can decide which one you want to shecht, right? And so clearly they have this machloket of whether you're allowed to use ha'arama, in which case that's probably what's behind our machloket here about using ha'arama by inviting guests who don't want wine, but still saving wine for them. Mimai, but how do you know that's the machloket's line up here? Maybe it's not the same exact machloket. Dilma adkan lokama Rabbi Eliezer hatam de efshar b'parnasa, right? Maybe only Rabbi Eliezer said there that you can't use harama because you can save it in other ways. Just keep it alive while it's still in the pit. It's not going to die there. Aval hacha de lo efshar lo. But here, there's no other way to save the wine. It's going to go to waste, right? So maybe he would allow you to use harama here. Va'adkon lo kama Rabbi Yeshua hata mishum de ikatzar balechayim. Alternatively, you could say that maybe Rabbi Yeshua only allows you to use harama in this case because the animal's suffering. There's tzar balechayim, so he wants to use a heter in order to allow you to do this. Aval hacha de lo ikatzar balechayim lo. But in a case where there's no tzar balechayim, where the animal's not suffering, you're just losing out your wine. Maybe maybe he wouldn't allow you to do that, right? So it's not muchach that there's just because two different just because there are two different arguments about harama doesn't mean they're following each other's shita, right? Because you could say about one of them that he really follows the other one in a normal case, and you could say about the other one that in a normal case he follows the first one. So it's not muchach that it's the same machloket. Tan Rabban, hitil pat nekia in matzilin pat hadra. Right? If you save good quality bread, then you can't go and save low quality bread. Right? Pat hadra matzil matzil pat nekia matzilin. Sorry, hitil pat nekia in matzilin pat hadra. Pat hadra matzil pat nekia. However, if you saved low quality bread, you can go back and save good quality bread, and you can't really use harama here because no one's going to believe that once you already saved good bread, that you'd rather come and save the lower quality bread. Umatzilin miyom kippurim leShabbat. You're allowed to save something. You're allowed to save meals on Yom Kippur for the use of Shabbat. Avalom Shabbat leYom Kippurim. But you're not allowed to save from Shabbat to Yom Kippur. The ein sarich lomar meShabbat leYom Tov. And all the more so, you can't save from Shabbat until Yom Tov. And what we mean when we say that you can't save from Shabbat to Yom Kippur, I mean, you're not eating on Yom Kippur, but that's dafka the point. Because you're not eating on Yom Kippur, you're only eating at the night, so you're not actually saving it for Yom Kippur, so you just have to take care of, you know, get the food that you need the following night. The lo Shabbat, le Shabbat haba, and you can't save from one Shabbat to the next Shabbat. Tanor banan, shachach pat batanor, right? What if you forgot bread in the oven, right? The way that they would cook bread is they would just stick the dough to the oven, and then they would have to do radiata pat, like to lower the, to be able to peel off the bread properly before Shabbat. You're not allowed to do radiata pat on Shabbat, right? So what if you forgot the dough in the oven going into Shabbat? V'kidesh alav hayom, and it was already Shabbat. Matzilin mazon shalosh tudot. So you're allowed to pull out enough for the meals that you need. V'omer la'achereim bo v'tzilu lachem. And you can also say to other people, hey, come get bread for yourself. That way it doesn't go to waste. U'kshehu rode lo yodem mirde, right? And you shouldn't use the unique vessel designated for radiata pat el b'sakin, right? Rather just use a normal knife. Eini, is that really true? V'ha, tana de Rabbi Shmuel, lo ta'asek homalacha yatzat kiyat shofar radiyat hapat, right? Hapat shehi chachma, right? Of ena malacha, right? So is that really the case? Don't we learn from lo ta'asek homalacha that it's only the malacha that you can't do? However, when it comes to tkiyat shofar and radiyat hapat, those are not malachot, and therefore you should be allowed to do them in order to facilitate doing the mitzvah. Why? So why can't you use the tool generally used for radiyat hapat? You're allowed to do these things in order to accomplish a mitzvah. So you should be able to do them in the normal fashion. No, so still we say that as differently as you can do them, that's still best to do them in a different fashion. You're allowed to do them, but you should do it with a shinoi. Right, you should get up early in order to prepare for Shabbat, as we say that on the sixth day you should prepare what you need to do immediately. Amar Rabbi Abba, Mishabbat Chayav Adam Livtzo Al Shtei Kikarot. Right, on Shabbat you have to have Lechem Mishnah. Right, two loaves of bread you have to make motzian. Yichtiv Lechem Mishnah. It says Lechem Mishnah. Right, two loaves of bread. Amar Rav Ashi Chazina Leil Rav LeRav Kana Denaki Tarte Batzechada. Right, so I saw that that Rav Kana held two, but he only cut into one. Amar Laktu Ktiv. Right, because it says that it says by Lechem Mishnah that you have to gather Lechem Mishnah. Meaning you just have to have two in your hands. It's not to say that you have to eat both of them. Rabbi Zera halabata akula sherute, but Rabbi Zera, however, would cut up the entire loaf of bread. Amar le Ravina le Rav Ashi v'ha michzi ke Rav Tanuta. Right, but doesn't that look like he's like kind of gluttonous that he's cutting up so much bread? Amar le kevan de kol yoma lo avid va'idna deka avid lo michzi ke Rav Tanuta. No, because he doesn't do that every day, and only now he's doing it. He's clearly doing it differently now. You're going to assume that's the chavod Shabbat and not for himself, so it doesn't look like he's gluttonous. Rabbi Ami. So for Ravami and Ravashi, whenever they would have bread used in the Eruv, right? So in order to make an Eruv Chatzerot, in order to make the common courtyard area between multiple houses, a place that you're allowed to carry one from the other, you have to have like a bread owned by everyone in the Chatzer as like this is the shared bread. And so because there's bread shared by everyone, that creates a common domain within that chatzer, because everyone should need to be able to go access that bread because they have partial ownership in it, right? So if you ever have that bread, and so Rav Ami and Rav Ashi would davka make a point to use that as a part of their lecha mishnah. Amri hoyel vit avid ba chada mitzvah lit avid ba mitzvah achrina, and because they would hold that, well, since it's already been involved in one mitzvah, you should go ahead and use it in a different mitzvah. It's like a significance to, you know, not to use something done for a mitzvah for mundane purposes afterward. This is done. This is used for a mitzvah in an eruv, but still, it's perfectly good bread. So we have another opportunity to use it for another mitzvah with lecha mishnah.